Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As many of you know from previous interviews and also from the things that are going on in this country, we need to have people to make a decision to get out there and start running for the presidency as well, because we all know the president that we have now and the former president that we had have really divided this country, have brought this country down to nil. We have economic problems, we have social problems, we have racial problems, we have incarceration problems, we have all kinds of problems in this country. Earlier today, I interviewed some people from the Netherlands. They said that people all over the world are watching the United States and the things that are going on in this country in a negative way. We have a guest with us on, and he was with us last Tuesday, and I'm going to hopefully have him on with us for the entire month of Tuesdays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if everyone is interested in learning a little bit about changes and how we're going to get these changes, positive changes, in the United States of America, we have someone on our show today who is definitely focused on improving the United States of America. I admire this man because he is for we the people. And we the people need to come together and make positive changes, because if we don't, we're not going to see this country ever improving. So let's welcome our guest, Andy Williams Jr. from Illinois, who will be speaking on issues pertaining to our broken political system that stands in the way of solutions. Politicians who stopped serving the people years ago. Andy, a rabbi, modern-day abolitionist, and advocate for the people, born in Illinois, will be talking about his role right now in trying to serve the people of the United States of America. Please listen in, call in with questions, and he will be given information on how you can find more information on his websites. So, Andy Williams Jr., I want to thank you for coming on. I feel honored to have you on. I'm always trying to encourage the people listening to try to make moves, to try to do something to show that they are interested in doing something to improve the United States of America, the country in which they live and have to endure the consequences of inappropriate leadership. So thank you for coming on. Are you on with me?
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So if you can, just let the audience know more about yourself and what your role is right now, what's going on, and also we'd like to know the address of your website so we can check it out for more information.
Got you. Well, the address of the website is www.andywilliamsjr.com. I think we updated it to another smaller one. Hold on, let me make sure.
Now, we have also www.thehoodcandidate.com. Is that still?
Yeah. Thehoodcandidate.com is still available. That is the movement. That's the movement that we're doing right now. So you can also go to, which is a lot easier for the listeners, is www.awj2024. So awj2024.com will take you straight to the website. Definitely will.
We have quite a few problems, as you're aware of, Mr. Williams, and mainly the economy, mainly the division that we have in this country, as you know, and a lot of other things going on as far as these worldly issues now, that all this funding that we have in the U.S. has been going out to Ukraine. And I'd like to know if you can tell the audience what your role is and what you plan to do as president, if elected, in a lot of these areas that are facing us right now in the United States.
So I think when we deal with foreign affairs and getting into sending aid to foreign countries, I do not think that's a bad idea. What I do believe is we need to take care of home first. And
exactly.
When we can send billions of dollars, of dollars to Ukraine, but right around the corner from the White House, there's a lot of houselessness, you know, people living in poverty. And not just in Washington. We have several states that are some of the poorest states. That is where the aid should be sent to first. Because when we as a nation, you know, we as the quote-unquote American people, or the people, I like to say, when we're straight and we knew what it was to come out and pick ourselves up from our own bootstraps without having a foot on our neck, then we're more apt to helping other people. But how can I see helping somebody else when I can't see out of the position I'm in myself?
Exactly. So I want to ask you, you're new to the public as far as the candidate for the presidency, and we haven't seen too many other people running. I would like to know what your thoughts are. What do you think that you can contribute to really bring people to at least start looking at others other than Donald Trump and our current president, Joe Biden?
So as the people begin to know about me, and to anybody listening today or will hear it in the future, I want you to go to awj.2024.com. I want you to Google Hood Candidate. And, you know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and the website hoodcandidate.com. And I want you to pay close attention to the work I've already been doing. A lot of times when it's time for election, people come around and say, if you elect me, this is what I'm going to do. And historically, over the last 20 years, I'd say, both Democrats and Republicans have held the House, meaning they've been the majority in the House. Doesn't matter who was in there, it seems like we the people are still saying we're not getting our needs met. Now, I'm not in that Congress, so I can't really say, you know, what is happening, what is really going on, because I'm not physically there. What I do know is when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. And if we just look at these last 6 years, let's just go to the last 6 years, the people have been mourning. If we see the national violence that's happening within our own communities, and I'm talking about across the cultural divide. So we have, you know, violence among the Caucasians. We have violence around among the people of color or in marginalized communities, meaning there's violence January 6th. There's violence in the internal wars with the police people throughout the states. And we have to have a solution for that. And the solution to ending that violence has a lot to do with self-love, because you cannot love yourself, and I mean truly love you as a living individual, a man or woman, and not want to help somebody else. We can stand around and videotape what's happening, but we need to step in and intervene, which has happened several times. So let's not overlook what we don't see, because I've seen videos where people stepped in, intervened, whether it was, you know, a domestic issue between spouses or just riding down the street and seeing stuff. And I'm seeing something going on and they intervene. And I'm 50. I'll be 51 next month, in October 10th. And I remember when I was growing up, if I'm riding with my dad and he would see, you know, two boys after school or just down the street having a fight, my pop stopped the truck. Hey, cut that out. Y'all ain't got to do that. Who you know, it wasn't like, let's videotape it, let's see who wins. And that was the way our communities would run back then. And sometimes, you know, you get in a fist-to-fist fight, like, okay, you know what, that's what y'all want to do, have it out with each other. Now we're like encouraging it all throughout social media. We're encouraging it. Go. And that is a pure reflection of who we are as people. That's what it is. And if we have broken people running for office, well, what do you think you're going to get? Broken representation. So their decisions are making on their brokenness. And I think that's something that we as the people have the power to change within ourselves first. And one of the ways that we make the change is we know who we are electing to represent us.
You know, we have a lot of people who are afraid to come forward and actually do what you're doing. And this is why we have the problems that we have in this country. And I really admire you for taking this step. This is the beginning step for all of us. If we were to listen, to ask questions, to learn, to support, to do all these things. Because we are in a country where people complain all the time, but yet they don't do anything about it. And you're an inspiration to many people because you're taking a step that we need to take if we're going to save this country and keep it stable. Because right now this is a dysfunctional country. We have dysfunctional leadership. We have people that complain and say, oh, this can't be done or that can't be done because they don't want to put any effort into it. So I would like you to give a message to the public. What would you say to someone that says it's not going to work? Someone that has discouragement, someone that doesn't think anything that the people do is going to make a difference in this country. What is your advice to them?
If not us, then who? If not now, then when? If not us, then who? If not now, then when? We can always see the problem. In fact, we can continue to discuss the problem. And with all of these degrees coming from Harvard, Stanford, you know, all these major acclaimed universities, and yet nobody has come up with a solution. And I believe the solution lies within we the people. We the people have the power, and we think that running for office, which is truly applying for a job, the difference is the people get to review your resume publicly. And instead of us looking at somebody that's ordinary's resume and saying, you know what, they're qualified, so often we say, well, they've been in Congress 20 years. Can you imagine working at a job for 20 years? And everything, the majority of the stuff that people saw as the product coming out was defective. I don't want to say our country, this government system has not done positive things. That is not the position I'm saying. The position I'm saying is we keep hiring individuals that lack the experience to deal with the problems we're facing because we keep using the same tactics. So if we're trying to abolish modern-day slavery, which Frederick Douglass was a Republican and was an abolitionist back then and fought against slavery, and now here we are in 2023 and we're trying to reduce mass incarceration, but you've never been incarcerated, so you lack the experience on how to deal with that, well, that's why we are the way we are today. Because we're electing people without experience that's just following the same thing that they've been taught to do, which is to bring more police, build more prisons, and you think that's going to solve it. No, what solves it is a restorative justice where we come to a community and we say there's an infraction that happened in our community. The whole community suffers to get rid of this victimless crimes. Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution requires an injury. So it has to be people against people. All these victimless crimes has skyrocketed the prisons. And you can just go back to 1972 when that came out with the war on drugs under the Nixon administration that started prior to that. It really started in 1921 under Henry Anslinger with this Marijuana Tax Act and just the marijuana stuff, the propaganda that was around that. And then it just kept evolving. And so we get to J. Edgar Hoover dealing with COINTELPRO, which was really a war on people so that, quote unquote, wouldn't be another black messiah. This is his words quoted. And then you come out 72 with Nixon and the war on drugs, which really, I don't want to say it was 72 with Nixon. I think it was, but I don't want to get Jimmy Carter's presidency mixed up in this because that's a good dude. But then it really was a war on the people. And so now here we are in 2023, and we have people that worked for the Nixon administration or worked for the Hoover administration, and people telling the truth about what happened to Elhaj Malik, Malcolm X. And now we're hearing factual stuff from the people who are still there. We have a duty as the people to go back and fix those wrongs. But instead, we're hiring the same people that have been in that administration that helped perpetuate it, either through ignorance or through knowledge, because, again, I don't know which way who thought was, because there's a lot of times we hear people talk a good game, but are you really bearing fruit on what you're saying? And I feel like the way that we the people can ensure that the fruit is being bared is we step up into that position. It's 468 seats that are up for election in the 2024. 33 in the Senate, 435 in the House. We've launched a political party, which we are more considered a family, called We Are the People Party. And we will teach you, we will train you, we'll give you a package. As long as you believe in the basic principles of we are the people. Not no division between no race. We don't believe in that. We don't want to do no division between your religion. We don't believe in that. We believe we are the people. We have the power, and we want to do what's right for our generation, the one that went before us, and future generations. And if we don't do it now, there is no next generation. We'll wipe ourselves all out because we are so out of control. Toyo misconduct, judicial immunity. So you get to violate my rights, and because you have the title of a judge, that's okay? Then where's the deterrent? Where is the deterrent at? And this is what we've come to as people. You have court opinions that say this. You go in front of these judicial officers and they ignore those court opinions. Take it up to the appellate court. So when you don't have the money to do that, then you got to say, oh, I'm indigent. And then when they're indigent, it's another status that they're going to look down at you and say you're ignorant because you're indigent. Come on.
I'd like to ask, now that you mentioned that, right now, what you're saying is really important for the audience to hear. The lack of funding for appropriate legal help, no matter what the situation. Now, we have, again, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who both, one has their own legal issues that they're trying to fight right now. And I say they're trying, not because they don't have funding, but because their wrongdoing has been so humongous, so great, that he has to pay a lot of money to get out of his mess. This is Donald Trump. Now, Joe Biden, trying to protect his son from going to prison, has the money. And this is why it's so important for the audience to know. We need to look at these issues that Mr. Williams is talking about, and that is the legal issues. It is pretty much the wealthy, the rich against the poor, because there's very few nowadays who are what you might call the average citizen. So I just wanted to point that out, Andy, because it's very important for us to know that we are going to have a president, or we're going to have someone that's going to advocate for a lot of these issues that have been a burden to. And a lot of people have been subjected to going to prison, have been subjected to losing their homes, have been subjected to being without anything, homelessness. These are all the issues you're talking about as a result of what we decide as to whom we want to run our country, to be our leader. And I just have to point that out.
Right. And I truly, truly believe when we look at this from an experience position, I filed a suit against the United States in 30 states for their ongoing role of slavery. They said, Andy, you don't have standing to do this. I said, I do, under religious freedom. Exodus 9, let my people go. The people are one of the get from under bondage. They said, nope, doesn't work. Well, that violates the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was passed in 1993 under the Clinton administration. Nope, nope. Okay, in my hometown, the city of Aurora, the police evolved from slave patrols and slave catchers. On the website, it's a group called the Special Operations Group. On their website, they say they target certain neighborhoods. Well, you know what that is? That's a bill of attainder. You're focusing on certain neighborhoods. So you pass ordinances and statutes to focus primarily on certain neighborhoods. That's a bill of attainder, meaning that this statute is unconstitutional. Plus, it's a badge and incident of slavery because the police system in America has truly evolved from slave patrols and slave catchers. And what that is, once the enslaved were told that they were free, then they started coming around with these statutes and ordinances to focus on these individual men and women and saying, you don't have a job, you're vagrant, and we could lock you back up. Or the slave patrols would patrol these neighborhoods, and then they would come after them. The slave catchers, if you ever escaped from the plantation, they would come after you. Well, what do you think the police is doing today? They evolved from that. Well, I filed a claim against that. And this one is the gangs. It's a violation of the right to associate. Being in a gang is not a crime. And I want to clarify, it's also a violation of equal protection. Because Tupac, about who's the biggest gang in the city? The politicians? The police? We can call the church. It could be a gang, or some people could say it's a cult. All these are associations. But when you focus on this geographical area of individuals, if they wear blue, they in a gang. If they wear a 5-point star, they in a gang. But if the police wear blue, well, that's the police. If the police, and do not the police commit crimes? Yes, because people commit crimes. Gangs don't commit crimes. People do. So if an individual commits infraction against somebody else, that individual is held accountable. But he should not be held accountable based on his status. That violates his right to association. And when you look at so many people locked up with these enhanced sentences, that's because they enhanced them because of their status as being an affiliated what has been labeled as a gang. That, I've challenged that. I've challenged the IRS for not giving my wife back her income tax return and won. So I won that one. We won that one. This is a man who is 50 years old who has challenged anything that has infringed upon his rights and on the rights of the people. There's a statute called the Private Attorney General. Congress passed this, I want to say back in 1866. That allows a private individual to sue on behalf of a class of people for a systemic issue, a systemic wrong. I used that in 3 cases. In all 3 cases, they said you don't have standing. Because if they would have agreed with me or agreed with the previous statutes in 1866, then I would have been able to declare what the slave patrols, what this gang legislation, what these 30 states in the United States is engaged in modern day slavery. So they was not going to agree to that, or maybe they didn't truly comprehend what I was writing. I don't really know. But once elected, one of the positions of the commander in chief is to be the chief magistrate of the law. Now I have standing, because now I can utilize the DOJ to go after these states that have been infringing upon the rights of the people in the form of taxes and in the form of unconstitutional legislation. I didn't have to get elected to do that to the people. I've been doing it. I come to the table with experience. I was in prison in 1991 for a crime I did not commit. I was in the mental health center in 1995 and 96 for 6 months because I pissed the judge off. Because if you've ever read the book, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, I explained that to the judge, and they said, you are unfit to stand trial. Unfit? I'm not even going to trial. I'm going to beat the case. These are the things that go on my background. This is what I've been doing. When we want to talk about personal, my younger brother committed suicide on an opioid overdose. That hits home. My friend was a mass shooter at Henry Pratt in Aurora, Illinois, back in 2019, February 15th. He's my friend. I got a copy of his file. For 15 years, they had been harassing this brother. And then they started messing with his money around November 2018. They had fired him, brought him back, just messing with him. And he couldn't take it no more. I didn't make up this story. He didn't tell me this story. I got the employee file. I understand that what we say is wrong, but we have a country always going to war with other people. So what do you think we do as the people that's watching that? We're at war within our own selves. So we have to start dealing with the root of these issues, self-hate. How do we begin to love our neighbor? How do we begin to love one another? How do we begin to follow the golden rule? Yes, there's accountability when stuff goes wrong, but the accountability needs to be when something happens against people, or people against property. And once we get rid of these victimless crimes or these victimless legislation, you will start seeing families come back to being restored, healthy communities again.
I was going to ask that, what your thoughts were on, there's twofold here in this country. We have racism. Racism is a big thing in this America. And unfortunately, Martin Luther King unsuccessfully, at the time, successfully brought people together. But since then, people have been divided, have started being divided again. And I wanted to first ask you about your thoughts on racism. And also going, I just want to get this, not that I'm going to be preaching the Bible, but I know that when Moses married his wife, his sister didn't like the idea because his wife was of color. And so people don't understand this. But I wanted to ask your thoughts on how to deal with racism, and also our own people who are out there, they not supporting their own, yet they complain about the racial issues in this country. I wanted to get your feedback on this. How do you get people to support the cause, to actually come together and unite in a country that's so divided, not only politically, but racially, and also economically? What are your thoughts on that, and how would you address some of these issues?
I was at a march one day, a rally, and they said, the black and brown together. But when I was at the march, I saw the black, the brown, and the Caucasian all at the march. And I was like, well, how are we saying we need to come together when we're already together? We go to conferences all the time, and the panelists, it's a blended panel. You got the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, the white, like all of this ethnic, cultural that are already together. And the way I feel like we deal with racism is solidarity. And when Fred Hampton Sr. says you don't fight racism with racism, you fight it with solidarity. We go back to the 2020 social unrest that dealt with the brother George Floyd. You saw people coming together in solidarity. That's what we continue to promote. And we don't promote the images of solidarity when something goes wrong. We do it every single day because we know there's a lot of people out here that's right. And like anything else, we deal with something when it happens, and then we try to prevent it from happening. So how do we prevent this form of self-hate? It's layered. And it starts with the education system. And the educational system has to start in the home. And in the home, how does this start? Because the parents in the home don't have that same ideology. And if there's, when I say it's so much layered, because part of this racism deals with poverty. I hate you because you got more than me. Because there's a sense of hate that's within our own cultures. You can hate somebody that looks just like you. And I want to go to this quote from this guy, Louis Yablonsky. He's a professor of criminology at the California State University. At least he was in September 2002. But it's a book called Blue Rage, Black Redemption, a memoir by Stan Tukey Williams, who's the co-founder of the Crips. And he, the professor said, Stan Tukey is the only one who has come up with any kind of articulate insight into black-on-black gang violence. Tukey said, I believe the core of it is embedded sense of self-hate. What I mean by that is an individual has been spoon-fed so many derogatory images of his race will, after a period of time, start to believe those images. The images I'm talking about are stereotypes that depict the majority of blacks as being buffoons, functional illiterates, violent and promiscuous, welfare recipients, indolent criminals. Unfortunately, too many black people have been brainwashed into believing these stereotypes. So you end up lashing out at the individuals, other gang members, that you consider to be part of those stereotypes. In desperation, you're trying to obliterate the negative image to rid yourself of this self-hate monster that is subconsciously stalks you. Now, this is Stan Tukey Williams, who was on death row for crimes he allegedly says he didn't commit, and I don't want to get into the case, but I read it. And
I'm going to tell you, if I can, I'm very disgusted with the
Schwarzenegger.
I am so discouraged and disgusted with him because Tukey Williams had all kinds of awards. People all over the world knew of Tukey Williams. This was somebody, as you say, that was incarcerated on death row, and they executed him anyway. This man may have started the Crips, but he was also, in all those years in prison, he changed his life around, and he would have been a perfect role model for these kids in the streets today. And people don't understand. They think when someone goes to prison that all of a sudden that person is thrown to the dogs, he's no good or she's no good. And that's why I say we have an ignorant society in this country. You talk about training or teaching. That's all we hear with law enforcement. Every time somebody is unnecessarily killed, even in the prison, that they need more training. I look at their hearts. I look at the way they were brought up. Because instead of parents teaching their kids love while they're growing up, I get disgusted when I know of parents that have taught their kids to hate people they don't know, or hate people of a different pigmentation, or to hate people because they're disabled, or to hate people because they're broke, they're poor. These are the kind of people in this country of the United States of America. And again, I'm going to say I've been in 11 countries, not just to go to the tourist attractions like many do, but I went into the villages. I spent time in the villages. I spent time in these poverty-stricken areas. And even with all the poverty that they were going through, they had a heart. The people there were Christian. They were godly. They were hospitable. They were honest. And what we have in this country, and this is why I say, my brother, it's going to be very difficult, because the people in this country are too content. They've been blessed and don't realize it, because even with the blessings, they still find fault with somebody that's different from them. So I'd like to know how you or anybody else that runs for the government, for leadership of this country, and does honest work and is transparent, like you say, you want to be transparent. We haven't had transparency in the country. We haven't had it in the prisons, in the government. We haven't had it anywhere. So this is what we need. And I want to see how people are going to respond to somebody that's now running, that knows everything that needs to be done and is willing to do it. You've been there, you've done it, you know exactly what this country needs. And I hope people will listen, and I hope they will support, and I hope they will volunteer in any way they can.
Well, one thing I say, Ms. Leona, I was talking to a brother, Leo, today, that's incarcerated in Maine. I mean, he set up the Zoom call and everything. And unfortunately, I was late because I got distracted with my time, and I was very apologetic. I don't know everything, though. I have experience in a lot of things, and that experience comes from me going to you, Ms. Leona, asking, like, well, how do I do this? Because that's the purpose of a cabinet. The purpose of the president is not to have all the solutions. The purpose of the president is to say the buck stops here. That's what that is. And we come up with the solution. And that's why I believe, yes, I have a lot of experience, and that experience is finding the solution to the problem. And I do not believe we as a people have truly implemented the solution. When I go back to 1960, this Kerner Commission or the Eradicate Poverty under the Lyndon B. Johnson and the things that JFK came out with, these mental health facilities, these things were a solution in the 60s. Now here we are 60 years later still dealing with the same problem, because we come up with these great ideas and then we start to implement the solution, and anytime something falls, oh, it's not going to work no more, let's just go back to what we're comfortable with. No, we didn't get here overnight, so you're not going to get the fruit of it overnight. But if you take a lot of people, there are organizations all across the states that say this is how you need to balance the budget. I say stop spending what you don't have. That's the way to balance the budget. If you can balance a checkbook, you can balance a budget. Because whenever you, when you come from having poverty or lack, when you don't have it, you juggle it. But you don't go getting yourself into more and more debt, because then you can't pay that debt. And now you're getting evicted, your car's getting repo, like all of these things happening. Yes, they happen from time to time. But if you don't have it, you don't create it. And that is what's going on with this government. Well, we don't have it, we'll just print some more money. Let's go to the reserves, international bankers, we'll print this money. And who is responsible for that? Our generation, the next generation. So I just want to clarify, I'm not the one that's saying I have all the answers. I'm the one saying I know how to get the answers to the problem, because there's enough organizations that are ran by people that have mastered these areas. And that is what we're able to do. And I believe across this, these next, you know, 12, 13 months, I'm looking to build relationships with the people that already have the solutions. And I'm saying, come on, let's come together and unite as people. Because one thing the Declaration of Independence gives us as people, whenever the form of government gets, I like to say it, too big for its britches, to write, and I want to say it's the duty of the people to alter, abolish it, and form a new government. So if the current system, we don't get elected, enough of us will be aware that our rights have been infringed upon, and we can say, we don't need that no more. We don't. We're not going to pay taxes. We're not going to do none of this stuff. And what you going to do? You're going to lock everybody? What if everybody decided we were not going to pay mortgage payments? If a whole state decided we're not going to pay mortgage payments? If a whole city decided they were not going to pay mortgage payments? If a whole city decided we're not going to pay our property taxes? What are they going to do? See, that's the type of power we have. If a whole city or a state decided we're not going to go to Wells Fargo Bank no more because we're tired of what they're doing to the people over here with these student loans and stuff, what are they going to do? They're going to have to fix it. When I talk about Barack Obama, I talk about Barack Obama and a couple positive aspects. One aspect, he had the image of a family. Again, I don't live with them, so I don't know, but hey, that's a good image. The second thing I appreciate him is he was talking on a show with Tom Joyner, and he said, black is civilly dead. He was explaining whenever you identify yourself as being black, then they say you don't have no right. Black is not a race. It's not a race. It's just a color. It's a label. So he shared that. And the third thing I'm going to say, which I truly 100% am pissed about, is he was the one that made the decision to bail out the banks. He didn't need no approval from nobody else. That was his decision. And when a business fails, it fails. There's no, oh, let me help you out. No, you file bankruptcy because that's what that's for. And you bailed out the crooks. I fought a foreclosure for 13 years, went all across the states trying to figure it out. And at the end of the day, what I came up with is it don't matter how much crookedness, fraud, deceptive with the robo-signing, forced place insurance, these auxiliary fees, this stuff they was doing on these files, it don't matter how much he was right, these judicial officers were not going to rule in favor of the people because it would have opened up the Pandora box. It would have been a floodgate, and they did not have a solution. Andy's solution is, if you do the crime, you want to steal from the people, accept the consequences. And Obama, under him, not his administration, this was him. This is what I read, I heard. I ain't going to say it's 100% true, but I believed it. He bailed out the banks. So I feel like I should be able to go rob a bank, and then when I get caught, no problem. Give me more money. And it, again, I'm the guy who has not been in Congress for the last 20, 30 years. I'm just the man who did his research. He read, kept reading, applying. I'm the one that's got to get up and go to work and paint every day. I'm the one helping people across the states with their paperwork, trying to teach them how to file writs of habeas, get relief. These states don't have standing. They're engaged in modern-day slavery. They don't have the right to each one of the states are corporations. A corporation can't file a claim against the living people. These states lost their sovereignty when they engaged in business. Whenever these states became municipal corporations, they're no longer sovereign. That's a conflict of interest. You're in this whole government to make money. Who are you making money off of? The people. That's modern-day slavery. Teaching me this. Nothing but the Holy Spirit. That's it. Each individual would get information, and then the Spirit would lead me to that, and I would read it and reread it over and over again, spending 16 hours a day, go to work 9 hours, come home 5-6 more hours, reading, putting stuff together. I didn't know why I was doing it, but I cared about the people. Just today, I had a friend about to go to trial, and I said, brother, you're going to have to plead guilty because you're not going to be able to articulate this in front of a jury. 40 jurors, all Caucasian people. Aren't you entitled to a jury of your peers? No. That's not what was there. You're not going to get a fair trial. They charged him with a DUI. He was driving down the street. Police officer smacked his hand on his hood. And he stopped. Oh, I smell alcohol in your breath. Oh, you're drunk. Been fighting it for 4 years. We finally get to trial. I can't even begin to tell you all the motions that were filed saying this was wrong. They didn't have standing. They didn't do nothing. I ain't honoring that. I'm not honoring that. I did emergency writ for prohibition of mandibus this morning. But when I was talking to them, I said, nah, they ain't going to win. Plead guilty. They still don't have jurisdiction. Because what are we going to do, gamble? And then now you done pissed the judge off because you decided to exercise your right to trial, and then the jury don't know, and you can't teach the jury, and now you found guilty, and now they want to lock you up in jail for 6 months? I'm not taking that chance with that, brother. We're going to have to go on it a different route. And this is the type of stuff I'm saying I do day in, day out for the people. And I'm not elected. I don't have that job. I don't get paid from the brothers because some of these brothers barely have any money. So I'd be like, give me $150, give me $300. You know, become a member of our organization. I'll teach you how to do this. I'm just being a teacher to them. And then you read the information, what it's saying, and then you have these judges don't even follow their own instructions that they got, that they were given. You got an appellate court decision, a Supreme Court decision, and they don't follow it. Why do they have to follow it? There's no consequences. That's what we have to do away with, people. We, and only we the people, can do this because we are the people. We are the people with the power. And no, I don't hate these men and women in these robes. I hate the choices and decisions they're making by destroying families. They get to go home to their family. They get their $200,000 a year salary. They get to say, I'm the first Latino judge. I'm the first black judge. Why can't you just be an honest judge? Because I have a Caucasian judge right now and that I'm in front of in court, and I'm telling you right now, if I had the ability to nominate anybody to the Supreme Court, it would definitely be him. Definitely. And I ain't in there on nothing but a credit card case. That's it. and he's fair, he's righteous. When I put paperwork before him, he reads it, and then he says, no, I don't think so, or he'll say yes. They try to say I entered into agreement with him. He said, Andy did not enter into no agreement with y'all. So he knew his job. That's what I like. And he's not black. He's not Hispanic. Just a good man.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. So when we deal with this quote-unquote racism problem, we need to see people that are morally honest and integrity. And you don't have a color for that. That's just who you are. And I believe the majority of the people are like that. I was in a Toastmaster meeting yesterday. It's a brother named Mike that was in there. Just a good man in sales. Good, honest integrity. They say, oh, you got to pay your dues. He took his $60 out right then and there. That's what I'm saying. Because he didn't wait. He knew. And that's the integrity. Yes, he probably has the $60 to pay. So I don't, you know, I ain't trying to say, hey, oh, well, he had it. But it's the fact that when you said it, he did it. He didn't want to put something off tomorrow what he could do today. He talked about the money and how it has no value, this piece of paper that we're honoring and worshiping like it's an idol, and it has no value to it. The gold and silver is where the value at. You read in the Bible, Hosea 10:12, the gold and silver is mine. And then they got rid of all the gold and silver and took to under a scheme to take it to the bank. I think they said, I don't know, it was Nigeria or somewhere. They said they were trying to do it. And the people said, we ain't falling for that. Somewhere. I can't think of it, but he told me yesterday. And that's why this 2024 campaign is so important to me, because I believe we're at a time in society that enough of us have the solution, and we got to get past the fear of, I don't know how to, we'll learn. When I ran in 2020, I had to learn. I had no experience. I learned how to put to register with the FEC, what was required. I had to learn all of that from scratch. And now you can go look it up in my name. Go to Ballotpedia. I was there. Andy Williams Jr. on the Libertarian Party. This ain't my first rodeo. It's not.
Mm-mm.
But this time, I feel a lot more confident because we the people are fed up. We're fed up.
Well, let's just hope that we will see more people that are fed up actually doing something besides complaining. I think this is the problem that we have, even as advocates in the work that I do. You're going to find some that are going to be determined, motivated, and they're going to really unite to make sure that the goals are fulfilled, whereas you're going to find other advocates who are going to try to prevent. We never know who the enemy is in a lot of areas. We have in the prison system, we have good correctional officers, we have bad ones. We have good officials, we have bad ones. We have good governors in some states, we have wicked governors in some states. Advocates, we have good advocates, and we have advocates that are mingling in and getting involved with other advocates to get information to take back to whomever it may be. But we need stability, we need consistency, and that's another thing I was going to mention. We're living in a country where every state operates differently. And I remember years ago when I first became an advocate, my goal was to see if there was any way possible to unite people so that we would have every state operating on the same page, doing the same thing. It's different the way the governors operate in every state. So how can you have a stable country when you have such dysfunction in some states and not in others? And I want to bring up one more fact. In a home where there's a lot of inconsistency, a lot of instability, children are going to grow up with ADHD, hyperactivity, ADHD, hyper disorder activity, I've had two shows today, and I guess it's getting to me. ADD, attention deficit disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. These two things are not rare. They're very common in a lot of homes that are dysfunctional, where there's a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion. And I don't know how we could have leadership in this country that doesn't look at some of these things is if it's that dysfunctional, if it's that chaotic for a child in a home to have them grow up with all kinds of disabilities, because emotional disabilities, because of the activities that go on in the homes, what is it like for a country that's so dysfunctional, so inconsistent, so unstable, and so divided in every state? What are your thoughts on that? Because this is a main issue in this country. And until we can get everything on the same page, everything on the same level, I don't know if this country will ever be able to be consistent or stable.
And that's why I say there's 468 seats that's up for election. 33 in the Senate and 435 in the House. In order to become two-thirds of Congress, you just need 300 people. I feel we have the ability to do that in this 2024 election, to get 300 people to get into Congress. And once we get there, we know what we're going to do January 2025 when we take those oaths, which I take affirmations because I don't swear, do no oaths, so I'll affirm, is we're going to repeal all the draconian legislation. We're going to abolish these statutes and codes that infringe upon the rights of the people because they're unconstitutional. And we're going to start helping people come home. And I don't mean just come home from these modern day plantations. I mean come home from working two jobs, three jobs, two parents in the home, and each one got to work two or three jobs. So then they don't have the strength, literally, to be with their children. So the school is teaching their children. Now they're being exposed to stuff that the parents don't want them to be exposed to, but what other choice do they have? Because if you take them over to one of the family members' house, well, you already know what happens at some of the family members' house. They do some stuff that is not right to the children. And so now the child has trauma. And now that it's just such a crazy, vicious cycle. So we saying, let's come together as we are the people. And let's do this all as one. That's what we can do. And each one teach one. You running down here in Illinois? This is what we doing. This is what our campaign is. This is our, you know what, we all going to say the same message. Now we're going to be the United States of America. That's what we're going to do. And now when we get in here and we got our own attorney general or the DOJ, then we go after these governors and these attorney generals that are infringing upon the people's rights. Because the federal government is there to protect the rights of the people. That's what we're there to do. So when these states are infringing upon these rights, no problem. We'll come at you. And if they don't want to abide by it, well, we ain't finna send you no aid no more. We'll let the people come to the senators and to the House of Representatives to get the aid that they need. That's what we'll do. And we'll work with the billionaires, the trillionaires, or whoever heirs. We'll get rid of all this red tape so now people can actually become social entrepreneurs. We'll go back to teaching people how to barter and trade. We'll get out your business. Because the government don't need to be all up in our business. That's an invasion of privacy.
I want to just interrupt for a minute. Andy, we have a caller, 650. Do you want to state your name, please?
Yes, it is Alexis.
Alexis.
Yeah, do you remember me? Leona?
Oh, Alexis from California.
From California, yes.
Okay, we have Andy Williams Jr. on the phone, and I believe you know because I sent a notice out to everybody. And I want to say Alexis not only is a strong advocate for the incarcerated, but she has experienced a lot of these things. Alexis, would you like to say something? And I want to say one thing, and I'd like to ask Alexis. Mm-hmm. I am very fond of your governor, Governor Newsom in California, and a lot of people, for some reason, they don't like him, but Governor Newsom, he seems like more laid back. He seems like he's more sympathetic to a lot of the needs. The governor there, and I just want to know what your thoughts are on that, Alexis, before you speak to Andy and to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it appears that he is like that, but I get bothered by his connections and his lineage. They all appear one way, But this, you know, we can only hope for the best and pray for the best, because this has a lot to do with our prayer coming together in a satanic system that's deliberately designed and set up for us through the, with the young, like Mr., like Andy was talking about, you know. It's really hard. You don't, I don't trust none of them, you know. So I love everything that Andy was talking about. He hits home with everything, with my feeling, everything that I've from my experience that I've seen, going out to protest at every prison, making for the conditions. I was involved with the Madrid versus Gomez in California state prisons of corruption here, and it took almost more than 10 years to get that even anything on there, to get it done before they can actually help the prisoners. In the meantime, they're dying of medical neglect for simple things. It was a lot of work, a lot of patience, you know. But my thing is, I mean, it was corrected. They brought in, they took out the fake doctors and brought in, because they made it very lucrative for new doctors and staff to come in the medical field and paying them good money, so they came. And so that was like that for a long time. But things always revert back again to the same old, you know. But at the time, at least we made some kind of impact with the different groups within San Francisco, you know, like the Pelican Bay Information Project. Then we had our own thing that we did. We called ourselves Union. And there's other people, what's her name? Another lady, I can't even think of her name. She helped over here. She had her own groups. So,
I remember when you started.
Yeah,
Carol
Leonard. She was very good in helping.
Oh, Carol Leonard.
Yeah, I never came out and said I'm an advocate. I remain quiet. As long as I have someone in prison, I don't want the attention. You know what I mean? And I don't want him to know what I'm doing out here, because if they get wind of anything, they'll hard time them. And I wanted my son to be home, you know, and a lot of other mother's sons. So I would go to the prison, the different prisons, with the rallies and protests to bring light, because people, with all the people we have in prison, if one person would show up on their behalf, our rallies and protests would have been massive. But no one, people, because of shame, many different, mostly shame that they're not showing up, or they feel because the person's in there and say it's cut and dry case that they're going to serve their time. They don't bother with them. They give up on them, and that's wrong. I don't care if a person's innocent or guilty. And like you were saying before, Leona, whatever, it's about human beings, period. And what happens to them in there that's supposed to be a rehab, it wasn't like that. It's not like that. And there's still flaws, you know. But I was going to ask the gentleman, Andy, do you think, excuse me, that if President Trump were to come back, because of him going through the system, okay, the way he recently did and was jailed and got mugshot, do you think that his disposition toward people in prison would be different, and if he would, in your opinion, would make a difference for those incarcerated and jailed?
I can't really speak on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I wanted to hold any weight,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know. What I do know about Donald Trump is when he was 13, he was sent to a reform school.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
And so that is a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad was successful. And, you know, in the spiritual aspect, we call that the spirit of arrested development. Like, your body grows, but that trauma that happened to you there keeps you there.
Yes.
And so
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you know. So until that healing happens to that position right there, I don't know if mm-hmm. I can say just because you went to jail what you bonded out, just because you have this stuff, you didn't really experience something. And even though people do go to jail, they experience certain things, sometimes they come out and they're not changed. Sometimes they're worse. So I could not say that again until I, you know, until you really are with somebody. And that's why when I earlier today talking to my brother Leo that's in Maine, there's certain things that deal with, you know, infractions against people. So it's torts. You know, a tort is a harm against people to people. I'm not in a position to sit on the parole board when somebody has been locked up, you know, 10, 15 years because they could say, hey, I've changed and I can hear and they could say something good and all that and still have that mindset, I'm going to come out and get revenge.
Right, right, which would be a normal attitude for some people because they're hurt because they've been, you know, targeted wrongfully as well, you know.
So what I do is I would utilize those who have been around that system for years, and then they come home, and so they say, you know what, I can tell when somebody is truly, you know, for the most part, reform. Yes, there's going to be people that slip through the cracks. I mean, our children slip through the cracks with the stuff they tell us. Did you clean up your room? All right, you go outside and come out, they ain't cleaned up their room. So, you know, we don't want to make it seem like this is a foolproof system because then we would think we're gods or creators or something like that. And we don't create people. But I do believe we have the power to create the ability to love one another.
Absolutely.
And so, go ahead. And so I just go back to what you're saying about Donald Trump. I think there's a certain language that people talk about when you can show that there's a true change or a true form of repentance or however we want to, you know, address the situation. And currently, from the things that I hear publicly, I could not, you know, say yes, that is. But again, I'm not in the room with them privately, and definitely a couple conversations don't give me the opportunity to say, yeah, that's cool. It builds a relationship. That's what we really have to do and get back to a village, you know, a tribe. And that comes back to the Aboriginal way of how we would deal with, you know, justice through restorative justice practices.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because look at all the different charges put on him. A lot of them didn't take hold. So he knows what it's like, this going through the system of stuff. But he's, unfortunately, he's got the money to get through this with most people, normal people, regular people. We don't have that money, and we don't understand how the system really works. You know? When we got involved, I thought everything was fair, and they know what they're doing, and they're going to see through the truth here. It's nothing like that.
We both know, and I'm sure Miss Leona knows too.
Yes,
if any one of us was out on bond for any one of these charges we got and caught another case, we wouldn't have a bond. One of the conditions of bond always said, well, if you catch another case, your bond is, you know, revoked. Well, why is this not happening here? And I'm not saying I want it to happen either. I'm just showing the selective prosecution, the treatment based on a status, and that is not all people are created equal. That means if you have this status, you have this title, or you have access to this many resources, you can get your freedom. He's charged with racketeering. Young Thug, I think his name is, which his real name is something William or William something. He's charged with a RICO in Georgia. Trump gets a $200,000 bail. Young Thug or Young Slim, whatever.
Yeah.
He can't get that. So, again, we're seeing the disparate treatment for people. And we could say, well, he's, you know, a person of color and Trump is white. Or Caucasian, whatever his nationality is, but it's a status thing here. And so we're blatantly watching this, and I know so many people locked up on RICO with this same similar conduct and this, inciting riots and the January 6th, there's a murder and all of this, and come on, man, this is so blatantly showing us the disrespect and... That has to be taught. People have to be aware of what's happening. And then as one of the remedies to the freedom or the liberation of the people, it requires us to step into that role. And I'm not saying running for office is the only solution. I'm saying it's part of a solution. and I'm choosing to deal with government law and politics.
That's really good. I think it's very well needed. Where are you located, Annie?
Illinois. I'm in Illinois.
Okay. So you go strictly by the regular law, not the constitutional law, admiralty law? That's what they're using in our courts on us.
The admiralty law, yeah. I go by common law.
That's what I do.
Common law is where it deals with torts, infractions against people.
Mm-hmm.
This legislation is under the color of law. So legislation is not law. And when we talk about admiralty and maritime and all this, either these judicial officers don't know it, and the regular people don't know it. So I just like to say, common law.
All I know is
crime against people.
I was in the middle of getting to know what that was. I do have to say recuse two attorneys, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Truly, I just did it, and it worked. But then they changed to a different courthouse. You know, there was a lot going on, but it's not recognized in there. And when you bring it in, they get scared. They don't know what to do with the information. You know, because it's all different from the way they operate. They operate just on rules, codes, and regulations, but nothing with constitutional value, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why do we have to even go through the local courts? Why can't we just strictly just go everything constitutional? You know what I mean? Why do we even need all this? It's just a lot. Because before a person gets any action on their cases, depending on who is doing helping them, they don't get any action usually until they get into the federal level of things, you know. And that takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is like, it's a lot. It's a lot to learn, a lot to, first you got to get over the shock when you've experienced it, you know, with loved ones. And it was a lot, you know. And so how do you help a lame, you know, person, you know, a person doesn't know nothing and teach them. It's really, it's a hard position to be in, you know. Wish I had the magic wand to be able to cure everything, but it's not like that. It's a lot of work.
Well, we just take it one day at a time, and each one teaches one. That's the only way we can do it.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track with that, and if they're willing and appreciative, they can continue doing that, because now we're going to leave it up to the young ones, right? The younger ones with a different mindset, stronger mindset, you know. But I appreciate everything that you're doing. I did know an attorney, I think Leona, you might know him or heard of him, Kenneth Abraham. He was helping people with...
Yeah, you know, years ago, he was in the circle too for some reason, but I haven't heard his name for a long time. I have to tell you, Andy, we were in a network around the country. Back then I was doing advocacy work for the country, you know, the incarcerated. And there was a Kenneth Abraham that used to help. Whatever happened with him? A lot of the old time is gone now.
Well, he got thrown off of Facebook because of the truth that he was putting in there. And he had a hard-on for the system because he was rolled up in the system, being a white man. You know, he's still young. I'm just thinking perhaps Andy could connect with him and they can see what they can do together. I don't know, just, you know, everyone needs some kind of support system too. To reach out to.
And I'll tell you, with Andy Williams Jr., doing what he's doing is going to be a hard task. Because anyone that's wanting to do the right thing is going to come up against a lot of oppression. So the more support that comes this way, because this is really
for
what
him.
We all want. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for him. Because Kenneth will... He's just like, he's right on target. He's very intelligent like you are, Andy, and he can connect the dots real quick. And I think he was helping a lot of people the best way he could, like you, in the same position. And Leona, you still have his phone number? You could pass it to Andy?
I never, I never had the number. I just had it.
I have it. I have it. I usually talk to him on the side when my son came out of I want to go back to 2018, last time I talked to him. But he was giving some advice to my son, talking to him. So he's a person you can contact right away. I pray that the phone number that I have is still good for him. But I know that he would shake up the courts and will just, he could be targeted. And I know Facebook targeted him, and I haven't been able to, I haven't even called him, as a matter of fact, but I was looking him up. He was on other social networks, and I don't see him active anywhere, unless, even trying to get back on Facebook using a different name, but was caught up. They still found him. They still found him out. So, yeah, he had a lot of information. As soon as
I just thought of as well, Andy, I'm going to give you the number to the person to get in touch with, but I just thought of something too, is the, it's called the America United Internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Louisiana United Internationally, her name is Belinda Brown. And I want to give you her number because that's another resource to connect with.
Right, his own coalition, his own people that he go to, and just come together.
This is it.
Mm-hmm. That's real important.
One of the things that Andy Williams Jr. said that impressed me as well is a lot of these politicians that are running for the presidency, they're spending billions of dollars in all this. I think that when somebody has a good reputation and they're doing the right thing, that the money will come. They won't have to spend millions of dollars. And right now, I think a lot of people are holding off from announcing their candidacy till a later time so that they're not spending a lot of money as these people are up front.
Yeah.
The thing is, volunteer, I've been a type of person that I always seek volunteers. People have these nonprofit organizations where they have to have all this funding. And my thing is I register with the universities around the country, and I recruit law students and psychology students, major criminal justice students. And these are people that are trying to get their internship, trying to get their experience. So I want to add Andy Williams Jr. to please somehow have your crew, those that are working for you, have them contact the universities and recruit some of these students to come on. Some of them are actually political science majors, and they would love the opportunity to do some work with you, to do their internships and to gain the experience.
Well, I didn't tell you, but I want to recruit you to be on the National We Are the People Party. So,
I don't know what I would be expected to do, and my time is limited, but I would do as much as I can because I want to see change in this country. I want to see the average citizens coming together to do something about it because these people in leadership, they've never experienced a lot of what we and our loved ones have experienced in this country. So they don't know what it is. As Alexis was saying, a lot of people don't know what it is to go through the trials and tribulations that most people in this country go through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all the support that you could, that comes to you, Andy, go for it. And
yes,
you could build it could get bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have a real strong hope. And when minds come together, it's unlimited what you can come up with,
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to be able to connect with you, Alexis, because I follow up with everybody.
Thank you. I've been out of circulation for a minute since my husband passed away in 2016.
And I wanted to pay my condolences, Alexis, because I remember, Joe, you were so close, and I remember one time talking to you on the phone, and he was on, but I'm sorry to hear about it. I know it's been a while now, but I'm glad to see you coming back out a little bit.
It's been a huge financial journey for me. It was a big switch. I wasn't not able to be out there the way I want to be out there. So I had, for the first time, concentrate on myself, and it was hard to be, to think about me only. And then recently my daughter passed away, and I lost 2 grandsons.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, God. Back to back, my daughter was in the hospital March, April. For 2 months, she was in a relationship with a narcissist, covert. And so for 16 years. So that took a lot, a big toll on me, you know? And so it's like holding back when I don't want to hold back, but out of her still staying in that same old, believing the lies and the acting, you know, and in her, she had this much love for this person, thinking that they were going to change, but the truth is they don't. That would take a miracle. And, you know, and I leave that open for that. But, yeah, so I've been grieving my daughter, and, you know, she was close, and, you know, she was involved when my son was incarcerated to go see him, because when people are up in prison, I don't care how big of a family you have, they all disappear on you. You know,
I'll
that
see.
Was, uh-huh, that's
I'll
the first.
See. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the reasons why, Andy, you, like I say, you've been in all these areas. You're experienced or knowledgeable in all these areas, and that's what we need in this country. Alexis has been on both sides. You know, she had a beautiful family, and her family, like, everything's drifted apart, and losing a son and to one end and losing a daughter to the other end, I know it's overwhelming for you, Alexis. And I want the audience to know this is something that many of you out in the audience, this is what many people go through. And this is why we need people out there that are going to be leading us, that are going to be controlling everything that's going on, because they know the pain and suffering that people go through in this country. We need people to care.
Mm-hmm. And how to break away and get out of the shame mode and just fight. Fight different ways. Like right now, I'm limited. All I could really do, maybe come on a call like with you, Leona. But information, I'm still on different social networks, and I put your link, Shedding Light, on all of those. Getter. I couldn't get into Truth. I couldn't get into that one, but I'll figure it out. But to make your voice known and the people you're bringing on there known.
I would love to have you come on as a co-host, really. I interviewed earlier today a couple from, they're not a couple, but they're author and co-author from the Netherlands. And tomorrow I'll be interviewing Franz Dow from the Netherlands. But these are people that have connections in the United States as well. So what I'd like to do is connect in with Andy, the same thing. I'd like to have him come on the show sometime, even when I interview people from other countries. So that everybody starts connecting and they get to know one another and know what their goals are and their causes are. Mm-hmm. Brian Winters from Vermont, and Andy, I'd like to connect you with him, was a politician at one time. He no longer is a politician, but he founded an American Union, and he votes or supports whatever side is for the cause. And his cause right now is, one of them is mass incarceration. Another one is the immigration issues. So, Andy, that's another one I'd like to, at some point in time, I'd like to connect you with him as well. I do want to say I've gone way overboard because Andy's time is limited too, and he comes on for an hour, and I've taken him off that hour, and he's on for almost an hour and a half now. I am so sorry, Andy. I don't want to tell you again. I'm honored to have you on, and I look forward to next week, same time. And if you have anything to say, Alexis, again, if you have time, I'd love to have you be on the show with me when I interview these people. And it would probably help you, too, and help me at the same time.
Yeah, well, now I'm getting cranked because it's been one blow after another. But I will definitely put you more links, especially with Andy, because there's a lot of people with incarceration. All of those issues. There's different types, and on Facebook.com. It's no longer Twitter, but we still refer to it as Twitter. And it's pretty open there, that space. It's really open. It wasn't like before. Elon Musk has done a fantastic job on freedom of, you know, of course, you know, certain things are not permitted, and we shouldn't, you know, use bad language to be bashing people in an evil way. But it's much more open, and all truths are coming forward. They're not being suppressed like they were before.
Or yes, being, it's time. It's time to get all these out in the open. And so, Andy.
Yes.
Since Alexis is sharing your information with everybody, can you give her and her the audience to, as well, your websites again that
please,
they can find
please.
On?
My is www.awj2024.com.
awj24.com. Okay.
2024.
Whoops. Sorry, I'm going to repeat it again. AWJ2024.com, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Andy, thank you. And, you know, he can call me anytime. I'll do what I can. But I'm best at sharing and information through that form of media for now.
Okay. I can, if with Andy's permission, I can give you his information. I'll send it to you on Messenger.
Okay, that'll be fine. And likewise, you've got my phone
okay.
number. Yeah,
okay.
I have a grandson now who's inside. I mean, he's there. And now he's in there, you know, which is my son's son. He comes out and one goes in. I mean, it's like, wow. You know, there's been a lot of back-to-back stuff. And
I
want
to say one thing. With this country, because of what's going on in the country, even the adults are having a difficult time. You know, adult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody is going in every different direction because there's so much out there that's causing the adults. And if the adults are feeling this way, then we know that the kids are going to be affected as well.
I know. I feel so darn tired. But don't forget the COVID. What it did, it arrested us all in our homes. You know, that shouldn't have been handled that way. Number one, and I just want to see how much power they have to be able to lock us all, put us all on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that all is. So
well, I think we just need to have to reform the prison. But I want to real quickly say there's another caller 323. You want to state your name, please?
Yeah, my name's Joe.
Hello,
can I speak
Joe.
To you in private, Leona? How you guys doing? After
I'm
the show, you probably you have some archive time. I'd like to speak to you in private after the show's over.
Okay, I will. I'm going to put your number here so I can. Okay. Alexis, is there anything you want to let the audience know before you go as well, before we close?
Yes, one thing is most important, and you just keep your faith in Almighty God, because we're dealing with satanic nature within this evil system that's working through many people that are creating problems. And it is true, like the young man said, they're destroying a lot of families. You know, luckily it didn't destroy mine, but it was hard. And it's hard to fight on many levels. When you've got a home, you've got responsibilities, you've got lots of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that's where I'm at. And so keep them floating, and you still have to deal with this other side of the fence of having your loved ones incarcerated, you know. And they want to fill those prisons. Since those two governors we had in the past, one was Gray Davis, and I forget the other pencil neck who he was. But anyway, they created more prisons. They built more prisons during those times. So what are they going to do? They're going to fill them up, right? And that's exactly what they did. And then they bring in the three stripes. You know, and then the children wind up in CPS. And that's another jail type thing. The CPS is horrid and evil. But there's still good people in all of those things, like you were saying earlier. So the most important thing is we have to depend on Almighty God more than ever and keep moving forward, because the bottom line is we're all not we're not here by accident, and what's happened to us is not accident. It was a design that was created by Creator. There's a reason why we're going through this. Each person, a different journey. But I do know this, don't run away from it. Face it with prayer and empowerment from Almighty God, because that's what will get us through and break through the chain, break through the, any barriers that we have within our own minds that was holding us back. You know, don't let it hold you back. You know, let's pull that strong nature of our Creator that's within us as well. And let it empower us, and let us not be afraid, you know. Let us not be afraid. Crash through the fears, you know. So I just want to say that.
Thank you for that, Alexis, because it's true. It's, you know, when I interview people from other countries and they talk about this country with the greed and the power and the racism and the hate and revenge, vengefulness and the retaliative, it's almost as though they're describing Babylon. They're describing a barbaric country. And sometimes I think, exactly.
Yeah, a new kingdom, it needs to happen. From my understanding, it's going to, Almighty God, the flood destroyed the flood. Or destroyed the world once, but he's not going to do it again on this earth, because I'm sure it pained him to see what he had to do, but his tolerance level, that's where it was at that time. Now we're in a time where we're going to recreate things here in this new kingdom on earth. I don't know when or where, only Almighty God does. In the meantime, we've got to do the best we can and with what we got to work with. But we have to understand this. We are dealing with the satanic people that run this world, for sure. Well, you know that. But there's good people in between and within everything. And we pray for those people to stand up strong. And we find those people, especially Andy, working what he's working, anyone else is working on certain things, that the right people come to them and assist them. And that Almighty God brings all of the people in high places that can do something forward and break out of their fear and change their dispositions and wanting to make this a better world, like the way Almighty God intended it to be, where there's love exists, because there is only love. That's what it's supposed to be. But we've got this other satanic thing on the side, unfortunately. But
there's two
that's
things.
Task for all of us.
There's two things that will explain that, and that's in Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, when it says Satan and his followers were thrown out of heaven. So even some of the angels deceived, and they were thrown out of heaven, and it says onto the earth, roll to the earth. In Ephesians in 6, it talks about we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. Who are the rulers of darkness in high places in this world? You know, we have a corrupt government. We have a lot of hatred in this place. And this is Satan. This is the evil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
work into their satanic nature, which we all have. A lot of us have it in check. We manage it well. Others don't, and they don't even believe in God. Look at China. Okay? So that's what it's that. We should not be afraid of that. Instead of, you know, I don't even use the D word or the S word. I don't give it no power, because the only power that lives in my heart is, and everyone, it's Almighty God, period.
You know, I'm actually thinking of doing something Sunday on this, everything you're talking about as far as biblical, because I'll tell you, people don't understand a lot of things that they're getting false information from pastors and priests and these churches, all these money-making. They're no different than the penal system, because the penal system's making money off of large corporations, mm-hmm. and the large corporations are making money off of the incarcerated. And the priests and pastors, I'm not going to say imams, because I can't judge them or even the rabbis.
You can mention the imams, too. Because what I'm saying is, the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to conquer the world as well.
Unfortunately, these things that are happening in this country and around the world is it's all predicted in the Bible, and I can talk about that on Sunday. But right now, I just want to let Andy go, because I know we've kept him overtime. Andy,
I love what he had to say God bless you, Andy, and anyone else who's listening that's been doing things and are approaching new adventures that are going to help heal this world. Thank you. And, you know God is with you.
Right.
Joe has also been sharing information for radio shows and other talk shows, but I'll be talking to him about that. But, Andy, again, please let the audience know your last-minute thoughts or recommendations or whatever it is that you would like them to hear about before we continue on.
Just the same thing. We the people have the power. We have the power to change. We have the power to turn from our own wicked ways. We have the power. And if we don't like what the way is going on in the world, stand up and do something about it. We are the people, and we have the power.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah. And just so you know, Miss Leona, you text me Alexa's name, but my telephone number. So you might want to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all good. I'm just saying, you text, it's her name, but it's my number.
Okay, I will.
I know when it comes to the Bible, Leona got all her scriptures down. The other thing I want to talk to you about too, Leona, I want to take you to a different place on that and see what your feelings are. Because my feelings are, and I've always felt this, that we are in the new kingdom already. And I believe
I love it.
The Lord is already here. Almighty God is already here. Okay, I've been feeling it. And I kind of got confirmation from something that I've been learning recently, okay? It's already here. I mean,
I'll tell you, I've been telling everybody something's going to happen this year, but not for what you're saying. I just, we're in the year 2023, and the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it mentions the 2,300 years. I mean, When they talk about evenings and days in the Bible, they're talking about years. So they're saying 2,300 years. And we're in the year 2023. And in the book of Matthew, it says, unless the days be short and none of his elect will be saved. So we're looking at these nuclear weapons. We're looking at these fires in Hawaii, Canada, and California, and all over the place. And we're also looking at now in Ezekiel chapter 1, it talks about UFOs. They're talking about over 500 sightings of UFOs since January. Look at a plane just went down. They couldn't figure out where the plane disappeared to. And they're asking everybody to help them find the plane. It was on the news. It's been all over the place. People have been having
planes. They found it.
Pardon?
They found it.
They did find it? The plane or the remnants from the plane? I believe they found some of the...
The F-35.
They found the whole plane?
I don't know if they found the whole plane. When the plane crashes, the plane isn't going to be.
You know what?
It's going to be a smithereens. They found at least part of the.
So the signs
the plane,
are out there. They're right in front of our faces now. The signs.
And the people on the planes are, as you notice, when the plane they're having turbulences, and the people on the plane are going crazy. A lot of times they're becoming violent.
Yes. I just read something about this lady who was cursing somebody else on the plane.
There's something
and it wasn't
going
because
on.
Of a mask either. Like they were
well,
doing.
There's something going on with the turbulence and everything, and with all this talk now about actual sightings of the UFOs, and they say that they are more advanced than any other technology in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And they just found a couple of aliens. They couldn't, I won't say aliens. They found a couple of bodies. They said that they determined that it's not human, so they don't know what these bodies are from. These are all the signs. And people can believe or they don't have to believe that there is something going on. We have a lot of spirits in this world, good and evil.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things going on right now. This is a year and with what you mentioned China, and I want to say real quickly, one of the things that I think Biden's made a big mistake on, and that's provoking, because what's happening right now is with South Korea and the United States and bringing Japan into it, doing all this around North Korea to try to get them, to provoke them, this is going to cause a world war. And this is one of the things that we shouldn't be involved in.
Yeah,
China now is
off, remember? And because when we look at Leona, China is the only country that doesn't believe in God, and the people who even want to even bring up God, Almighty God at all, are persecuted, killed, and tortured. Okay,
we
so
have people in we have people in this country that claim to be Christians that don't believe in God. They don't, because if they believed in God around this country, there'd be more unity. There'd be more sympathy. There'd be more love. There'd be more compassion. There'd be more mercy and forgiveness, and there'd be more harmonious activities going on. But
well,
when we have a country full of Christians and there's still a lot of racism in this country, something's not right. I believe if you're going to be a country, you're not going to judge others. Because I'll tell you, I have been in every religion you can think of. I have been a Jehovah's Witness. I've been a Catholic. I've been a Presbyterian. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist. I've been I've been in a mosque. I've been in a synagogue. I've been in all these all of them. So if I was judge, I would judge based on what I was involved in. But we have people out in the communities, including Jimmy Swaggart. I used to watch that. I stopped watching it because they're not only making money writing books about Jehovah's Witnesses and other religions, they're the last ones to be talking because they haven't been in any of these religions. I just haven't had one
experience either one of us have had, not even one. You know?
Exactly.
They don't know because we're all there by design. It's to distract us, and we're getting a lot of my opinion, they keep talking about the same thing over again. We're not there no more. We're in the new kingdom. The age of grace was when Jesus came, did what he had to do, but he wasn't finished. He said he was going to come back, and I believe that Almighty God has come back, because that was Almighty God within Jesus.
You know what? I'd like to, on Sunday, if you can, Alexis, maybe around 3 o'clock my time, 12 your time, but let's talk about some of these things that you're talking about now, because that would be an interesting thing to talk about, especially on a Sunday. But I'll set something up for, I don't know if 3 o'clock is good for you. I can set it up for 6 o'clock my time. It'll be 3 o'clock time.
Be perfect, 3 p.m. That's my time. That's my good time for me.
Okay, 3 o'clock your time, Sunday?
Yes.
Great. And I'll set something up next. Anybody's welcome to join us to talk about that.
What do they worship there? The red dragon. And what's the red dragon? And I don't like to say this word. That's Satan. And that's the bottom line. Anything that comes from there is not good. And if look at the people. There's a much oppression, breakaway groups from there that have turned into Christianity. That I can say.
And I'll tell you, I've met atheists that do more good than Christians, a lot of Christians. So that's why I'm telling you, it goes, I think what happens is it's according to the spirit that's within us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again,
that's why I say we should talk about this Sunday, because it goes deeper than a lot of people think.
That's what I'm learning now, really deep. Almighty God just wants, he wants our hearts. He wants our hearts with his. He loves us very, very much. That's my message to people. And what I'm learning is this is alive. He's alive. He's not just this person in the sky. You know, no, it's
no, God is real. God is real. And I'll tell you, I've had experiences. I wouldn't tell anybody. They think I was crazy. But one of the things I want to let the audience know is please join us Sunday, 3 o'clock California time. Okay, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Please join us, audience, on Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern time and 3 o'clock on Pacific time. And let's talk about some of these issues involving the coming of the Christ, of God, or whatever you want to talk about religious-wise, I invite all of you to join us. Again, I want to thank Andy Williams for joining us. And Andy, again, hopefully next Tuesday, I won't keep you this long, but I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I admire you, because you're making a move that all of us should be making. People don't
make
it. You made me cry when you said, and I felt your passion when you said it destroyed a lot of families. I've seen it. I've dealt with families that are going through so much, and the breakup of and the children being taken out of homes. You know, this thing in this so powerless that all I could do is pray for them and have them direct them to not to give up, to pray. And it's very hard when they're going through certain things. You know, like I said, it was hard for me too, but I managed to get through. You know, and I had my husband's support, And wherever I wanted to go or do, he'd go. He may not agree with me and everything, but he didn't have to. He would learn as well, you know. So I miss that. So anyway.
You know, I will say real quickly as we close, I want to say, Alexis, you made it through because God is with you, you know, and you couldn't do it. And sometimes when we have our traumatic experiences, which is what led me to the Bible, and I remember the whole traveling I did to all these 11 third world countries, and you'd see me sitting on the sidewalk, you'd see me sitting in a bench, wherever I could be found, I had the Bible. I'd go from one church to the other. I needed to find out why these things happened. And I want everybody to know, unless you really seek and search for answers, you're not going to be at peace. No one will be.
Right. And you can, the thing is with Almighty God, you can ask for his divine peace going through these trials and tribulations, because we're all going to go through something. Some don't say nothing and they suffer alone, and you don't have to suffer alone. But everyone has something that they're going through. And we're all going to be faced, we all have trials and tribulations, because God, Almighty God, uses the devil, is using the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. And
you know, you're getting me started now, because I want to say something. You know, in the beginning when Adam and Eve were deceived?
Yes.
Satan deceived them. Now, Adam should have known better, but it goes to show you how Satan works, because he called God a liar. So, first of all, they listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
They listened to him call God, our creator, a liar. And then they listened to him. Adam should have known better, but he let his wife talk him into eating of that same. And that fruit was a symbolic of something. But what happened is now Satan deceived them, and they did something wrong. They themselves considered God a liar, because that's what they went against his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing with Job. They did the same thing with Job. His friends were trying to make Job think that he did something wrong. So Satan was using his friends to deceive Job and his wife. Satan was using his wife to say, curse God and forget it. So when Satan couldn't deceive Jesus, when he took him up on the mountain, and Jesus would not be deceived by Satan, Satan went around to all this other. And he's gone around to all of us. And when they talk about the Christ Jesus and the Last Supper and the resurrection, the crucifixion, that was to save us from the sin that we would normally be going through if we were to die without the Christ, without that blood that was shed on our behalf.
That was a time of grace and salvation for us.
Satan is still working. He's still working in the people in this country and around the world. And we anybody that's listening to Satan and showing hatred, or showing anything different than love and harmony and unity.
They're coming from their own satanic nature that they need to get in check.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And I just learned this. I'll be honest with you, Ilona, I've never read the whole Bible. I know here and here in pieces, but I'm learning things that make so much sense now that explain the scriptures better.
Pastors and priests. All these people that are supposed to be professionals, they learned from man. They didn't learn from the Bible. You know, I've told people that are pastors and priests, I've told people things in the Bible that they didn't even know about. But what happens is when you go to a school of theology, you're being taught by another man or woman, in some cases, you know, because the Catholic now even has women given the communion. But people have to really search and seek. And I'll tell you, you can read the Bible 1,000 times, and you go back to it, and you read a sentence, and it's going to have a different meaning or message. It's going to be giving you more and more information. So the more we research the Bible, the more we read it, we keep getting new information. And everybody thinks you have to, the whole Bible applies to you, but it doesn't. It applies to your situation in certain areas. We have to look for that. But anyway, again, Andy, Junior, we have to let you go. Sunday, Alexis, I'll set something up as soon as I get off the show. And Mr. Williams, thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you so much. And Alexis, thank you. And I'm looking forward to you joining me as a co-host on the shows now sometimes.
Like, it was time. I didn't even plan this. It just happened. It popped up and I looked at it and I dialed in, and before I was listening to the gentleman speak, Dandy, and I love where his heart was at. That's what I felt. I felt his heart and his passion.
Thank you.
That's what I go
Thank
by
you.
In people.
I feel the sincerity in what he's trying to do, and I know that God will be with him, and we need to keep that in prayer as well. But again, I'm going to end this episode for now, and Andy Williams, Jr., my presidential campaign, will be back with us this upcoming Tuesday at, again, 5:30 Eastern and 4:30 his time.
Yes. Okay.
Illinois. Thank you so much, and we're going to end this episode now. Alexis, thank you. Andy has your number. You have his, and we will be connecting at another time as well. Sunday for sure.
God bless you.
God bless.